Blog Talk Radio.
Well, assalamu alaikum. May the peace that only God has be with you. This is Nazim Rashid. And on Imam Alfred's show, Religion Means Live. And welcome to another series of recovery. For those of you who know, I've been doing a series of recovery on Wednesdays. And we're going to continue today with our, I think, part five, part five series on recovery based on my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Again, the book, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. And this book can be bought on Amazon, Barnes & Noble websites, and you can go into the Barnes & Noble store. Yeah, you can do that also. And it might be around the shelf. If not, you can ask for it, and they can order it. Yeah, Barnes & Noble. And my site, cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. Mm-hmm. And, the 12 Principles of Recovery. Now, what I always do, I always sum up, so I can bring everybody up to date as to what we're talking about now. Okay? So I'll start with the 12 principles of recovery is, and then go into a little summary of what we talked about before, then we'll start on the sixth principle today, okay? All right, 12 principles of recovery. Again, this is based off my book chapter called 12 Principles of Recovery and my program, 12 Principles of Recovery, that I started in the Bay Area, San Francisco, Oakland, Bay Area. 12 principles, all right, number one. We allowed our lower selves to control us regarding our addiction and admitted that our lives thus had become unmanageable. Our lower selves. Remember, we have lower self and the higher self. And when you're in the dark life of addiction and conning and lying and adulterous behavior and so forth, your lower self is talking to you and guiding you. Yes, when you say you believe in yourself, you're believing in that lower self, okay, at that stage, that phase of your life. Number two, we believe that Almighty God, the power greater and outside of ourselves, can and will restore us to sanity. As you can imagine, the life of addiction is insane. Yeah, absolutely. And we're not just talking about drugs and alcohol either, you know. Those of you who have domineering kind of issues or mentality. You want to domineer somebody. That's insane, too. Number three, we made a decision to submit our will and our lives to the will of Almighty God. Number four, we made a searching and fearless emotional inventory of ourselves. Yeah, well, that was a long one. We talked about that quite a bit. And we actually went through all these steps, principles here earlier in discussions. We'll continue to do that today. Five, we admitted to God and to ourselves the exact nature of our wrongs. Okay? Six, totally ready after asking God for right guidance to have God remove all our defects of character. Oh, yeah, defects of character. Seven, we humbly and submissively ask God to remove all our shortcomings. We have plenty of them. We are to make a list of all people we have harmed. And we are willing to make amends to them all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very difficult to do, but you have to do it. Number nine, we intend to make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would bring harm to them, ourselves, or others. 10. We continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admit it. 11. We seek through prayer, meditation, and studying God's way to improve our conscious contact with God and to improve our love and respect of God, praying for the power to carry God's will out in our lives. And 12. Have increased our level of faith in God consciousness as a result of applying these principles while carrying this message to humanity, we begin practicing the principles in all our affairs. Okay? All our affairs. All right, there you go. And now we went through all, what I'm trying to do is break all these principles down so we thoroughly understand what we have to go through to a life of positive production. Yes, a life where you expect all life, honor all life, including your own. Yeah, for sure. So we have to go through this, you know. Again, we're not talking about those that have, you know, those only who are addicted to drugs and alcohol. We're not talking about life in that at all, you know. Yeah. See, when you accept a new life for yourself and realize that you have to first forgive yourself and others, just saying the words alone may not be good enough to internalize real change. This is why following this program, a methodical program with a solid commitment and demonstrating the new you by being the example of what you are now believing, you can have a more reassurance of a new path for yourself. That's real important. Real, real important, all right? Okay, so now last week we went through principle five, okay? And principle five is we admit it to God and to ourselves the exact nature of our wrongs. All right, now before I go any further, I always want to emphasize that we're not just talking about addictions. We're talking about happy marriages here. Yeah. Talking about the great committed relationships, happy marriages. We're talking about you being okay with yourself, all by yourself. All by yourself. You should never get married if you're not okay by yourself, if you don't feel good by yourself, if you don't feel that God is with you, you feel like balanced human being, you're okay. Of course, you know, marriage is important for us. We need to have that, you know. However, if you feel anxiety by yourself, depression by yourself, you can't stand to be by yourself, even claustrophobic by yourself, huh? Do not get married. Only when you have worked out those issues. Because see, what happens, you're dealing with unconciled past issues. Yeah. Unreconciled past issues. And that's very important to understand. See, that's what my book deals with, you know. Yeah. So that's very important. Because see, in my book, Reconnected, I actually take you to a trip, you know, going back in time to change the feelings that you had back in those days. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I would talk about how you can fill those emotional voids experienced in childhood. I will teach you to become a time traveler, traveling back to the place of your upbringing, becoming a senior advisor and mentor to your child self. And when I say child self, I'm talking about the little self you once were. That's why I tell my clients all the time, get those little pictures when you're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, put them on your computer monitor. You know, maybe cut it out so you just see it, that face. That face is emphasized, and those eyes are looking right into the camera. So you can send love into those little eyes. That's how it starts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might find you might start crying during the process. You realize that that little self was hurt so much and had no one to back him or her up. Now you're coming along as a fictional character, but still, you know, energetically it still means the same thing. The little one now feels that someone has his or her back, and it's touching, very touching. And I cried when I first did it. Yeah, very touching. Yeah. So I'll teach you how to have sessions with your child self as you will address those negative events that you still carry with you and change the outcome of one of your desire. See, this way you will create real internal change in your life and be free of the negative effects of unresolved past issues already. Yeah, unresolved past issues. And this is what caused the problem in marriages too. That's why people can't stay married more than 6 months. Over half, probably 60% now of marriages end up in divorce. Doesn't matter what religious hat you have on. You know, Christian, Baha'i, Buddhism, Hinduism, Muslim, Islam. You know, it doesn't matter. What matters is what you're doing in preparation to become the best marriage partner. That's what matters right there. You know, be the mate that you seek. And if it's hard, get help. There's nothing wrong with going to a counselor, going to a therapist. Nothing wrong with that. You know, like Imam Muhammad said, if there was a way to assess, you know, the individual members of our ummah, our collective body, and you'll find that you're probably over half of them are clinically, you know, diagnosable. Some kind of mental disorder, clinical depression. We have problems, and a lot of us PTSD from slavery. I understand that one too. But whatever, you know, it is okay. Even if you think you're fine, it's still a good idea to go to a therapist or counselor and just have yourself checked out, kind of like when you take your car in before it has a problem. Make sure you don't have a problem. And go in, you know, a regular maintenance check, you know, even when everything's okay. Just have the mechanic check everything out, you know. Check your fluid levels and check your air pressure and all that. Well, there's nothing wrong with seeing a counselor every so often just to make sure everything's okay. You know, we have a lot of problems in our community, and there's nothing wrong with seeking someone to get help, but just to make sure you're all right. Because a lot of things are happening on the unconscious level. See, the unconscious actually directs our conscious life. You think it's all the way around, but it's not. It's your unconscious life, it's what you don't see, that directs your life. Yeah. And what you don't see in that area is all the unreconciled issues from the past. Yeah. All those issues from the past, when your cousin gave you a black eye when you're 9, you haven't forgiven him or her, and affect your whole relationships and your jobs and everything else, and all those things. Your mother, you know, abandoned you, you know, and went off with, you know, cheated on your father and went off somewhere with somebody else. You know, that messed you up, you know, and that messes up your relationships also. All those things during that unconscious part of your brain there that's directing your life. You wonder why you can't stay married long. Yeah. This is why it's important for us to, you know, talk to somebody. And why I'm doing this series on recovery, because the recovery is for everybody. Everybody. Not just for those afflicted with drugs and alcohol, like I said before. Everybody. Want a healthy relationship, a healthy marriage, go through the recovery process. You want to love your mate better, spouse better, go through the recovery process. You want to stop becoming so angry and abusive, go through this recovery process. You want to become the best wife, best husband, go through this recovery process. Yeah, this will help you. Absolutely. My book, you know, has communication, listening skills, and good for couples. Matter of fact, if you go on YouTube and put in a search, Reconnected, The Relationship Manual. Yeah, you'll get a video clip of a workshop I did regarding relationships. Yeah, absolutely, based on my book. So it's very important to have the tools. We all need references. Okay? Yeah, very, very important. So get it. Get the book. All right? My website, cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com. All right? Very, very important for you to understand that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And when you do, I'm telling you, you know, life is a lot better. Things happen for you, you know, that never happened before. So that's real important. I want to kind of emphasize that. All right? Okay. Now I'll go into the fifth principle now. Oh, by the way, when you're calling and you want to participate in a program or ask a question, all you got to do is hit your number one on your telephone pad, and I'll see that on the switchboard and bring you in. And we can have a discussion. Either you might have a question or a comment, and we can talk about it, all right? All right, very important, okay? Okay, now the fifth principle. We admit it to God and to ourselves, the exact nature of our wrongs. We admit it to God and to ourselves, the exact nature of our wrongs, okay? Yeah, I talked about that last time for sure. Mm-hmm. We unnecessarily burden ourselves when we pile up unreconciled emotions. Unreconciled emotions. I'm just talking about that, you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's very important to understand that. And also want to mention that this 12 principles of recovery is not the 12 steps of recovery by the Alcoholics Anonymous group. Very similar. I went through it myself, but I couldn't go through it as it stated, because it was too loose for me. It allowed it, you know, allowed it relapse. You know, there's too many ways you could relapse and use and all that, and recidivism. I couldn't take it. I couldn't handle it. See, I was so motivated to become clean and sober and live a different kind of life that I had to redo the 12 steps as I was going through it. I made it stricter as I was going through it. This is where the 12 principles came from. Yeah. And the fifth principle, I talk about admitting to God and to ourselves, whereas in their 12th, fifth step, they talk about admit to God and to another person. That's very, very dangerous. You know, very dangerous. You might not want to tell anybody, you and God. Okay? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You might not want, you know, so it's very important to understand that. And I even talk about that. It says it can be very beneficial to have this kind of session with another person, but you got to be very, very careful in the selection of such person. You have to trust them. You should know their character and have a history with this person so you can recognize their sincerity. They should also encourage a two-way conversation, but in no way make their story more important or dominate the session. They should always recognize that it is your story that is most important, and it is your feelings that have to be acknowledged with all the validations that are appropriate. See, a lot of them can't do that. Hearing the perspective of someone else broadens the thinking and ideas. When party A hears a similar story from party B, here's a different outcome from a different action, a light bulb moment could occur. We don't have to depend on our thinking alone. We're not alone out here. There are many people in similar situations and for the same similar reasons. We need other ears, hearts, and minds to help us with our sojourn on this earth. The journey here doesn't have to be so burdensome. You know, and we don't have to carry such a load all by ourselves. When we share with another, we lead the burdens from each other. But you got to be careful, you know. Sometimes you can't do it, you know. And when I went through it, I couldn't do it. No, I didn't know anybody that I could trust like that. Keep in mind, since this book, you know, is about reconnecting with your child self, I'm talking about the youth or child within. So you got to always talk about that little child within you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, you want to make sure and look in those eyes, even in the mirror, and then, you know, make sure you tell that little self that you're there for them. Yeah. Now, principle six, we are entirely ready, after asking God for right guidance, to have God remove all our defects of character. All our defects of character. Mm-hmm. Yeah, real important. After admission of our wrongs, we're now ready to have God remove these character defects in this sixth principle. Yeah. Oh, by the way, before I start, yeah, let me open the chat room online. If you're listening online, you should be able to look under my picture, email Alfred's picture on the show page and see a little window there where you can actually type in your questions or comments. So as of right now, it is open. I'm just now opening that up. Okay. So in case you wanted to type some in there, you can do it now. All right, it's open. Okay, good. Again, when you're listening on your phone, just hit number one, and you can come right on. I'll hear you. I'll bring you on. We can have a discussion. Okay? Going with the sixth principle. As addicts, we were strong, stubborn people. In the business world, these traits can give us the focus necessary to succeed. Refusing to give up, even in the worst of times, often leads us past the obstacles that lie between failure and success. However, an unwillingness to let go in our personal lives can stunt our growth. Yeah. For so long, we ingested chemicals that were destroying our lives. This is also true for those of us who have allowed the spirit of dominance over others to reside in our souls, thus becoming the directors of our lives. Yeah, I remember I thought about that. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. This is also true for those of us who have allowed, yeah, I said that. Okay, defying our instinctive desire for self-preservation, we seem to self-destruct. Powerful instinct to live begins to cooperate with God's ability to grant us a new life. Mm-hmm. We were not created to destroy ourselves with intoxicants. Keep that in mind. But we're instead given natural instincts to cherish life in service to God and humanity. Every worthwhile goal in life is achieved after careful, meticulous preparation. Yeah. If your goal is to win the big race in the Olympic competition, there will be several things on your to-do list. One, you have to see yourself as a winner, crossing the finish line way ahead of the pack. You will have to be willing to go through hours and hours of exercising, yeah, stretching, special deep breathing, running for miles, and diet strictness. You have to be uncompromising in your commitment to your preparation and goal. Four, you have to feel the new you evolving from within and become one with this new spirit. That's very important. Let me say it again. Wow. You have to feel the new you evolving from within and become one with this new spirit. You have to welcome this transformation process with open arms and a reception that is strongly desired and demonstrated in the new spirit that you now carry about you. Isn't that something? Yeah. All right, you have to have the same mindset towards your goal of a new life. I don't know why we take this so lightly. You know? If you want to become a doctor, you got to spend, you know, 8-12 years in preparation, study and internship and all that, and any kind of meaningful occupation, you got to spend a lot of time and, you know, getting your license and all that and studying and so forth. But why do we take, you know, our life transformation so lightly? We cannot, you know, spend time reading books, going to counselors, and really getting what we need to have a true life, a wonderful life. You see, our great religious leaders talk to us all the time, you know, about what we need to do to straighten up, get our community in order. Stop hating one another. Stop hating yourself. We still do it anyway. And wonder why our community, our ummah, our congregations, you know, is not progressing. It's always having these little fights and drama going on, kind of like the reality shows you see on TV, you know, Bridezilla and these basketball wives shows, all kind of stuff, you know. Right now, communities. Yeah. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing, you know. We have to clean up those voices from the past, all those conditions from the past, cultural norms from the past, all those things people told us was right for us to do, who to love, who not to love, who to be with, who not to be with, where to go, where not to go, where to live, where not to live, what to wear, what not to wear. Huh? Yeah. Clean it up. And be desire motivated instead of fear motivated. Yeah, like driving in the car. I say this all the time. And looking in the rearview mirror as you're driving forward. That's what we're talking about. You know, even though you're going away, you're looking in the rearview mirror. So the dominant thing on your mind is the past. Even though you say you got to go forward. Yeah, you know what's going to happen if you drive a car like that. You're going to crash real soon. And that's where we live. We're living crashed lives. Living crashed lives. And don't know why. In your mind, you're saying, well, I know I had to get away, so I made it to get away. I know I had to get away. It's how you're getting away is the important thing. If you're getting away still looking in the rearview mirror, you're not going to go far. You have to be desire motivated. The goal on your mind, the new life on your mind. This is why if you go through a recovery, too much think about those good old days. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Way back when, you know, good old days. When I used to party on the corner and sing doo-wops in this corner and be in this bar, be in this club, doing the club scene, you know, be that woman, you know, or in case of wife, be with that man. You know, so we're thinking about those days and the party we used to have. We used to laugh and have a good time and drink and smoke and, Yeah. You think about those things as you're going through your recovery process. Yeah. In part of the recovery process, I mean, you have to get new people, new circle of friends Because your old ones will bring you right back to addiction. You know? So you're thinking about that, you said, well, I know I got to have new friends, but yeah, I got kind of like old buddy. Kind of like old Sister Linda and Boquisha over here. And I kind of like them, you know? I got to give them up. Wow. I don't know about, I guess I got to do it. But man, me and Sister Girl had a good time, man. So this was what is going through your mind as you're going through the recovery process. See, don't you see how many of us don't make it? We go through it, you know, we might go through the 12 steps, I call it 12 steps, but we keep relapsing and don't know why. We're clean and sober for 30 days and we see old buddy down the street. He said, come on, man, come hit this joint. You know you like this, man. You remember the time we used to have? Huh? You remember the time you said, come hit this, man. Yeah, or hit this bottle here, man. Here, have some of this Jim Beam. You know you like this. You know you like this. Come on, man. Hey, hit it. Yeah. There you go. You know, back in hell again. And you wonder why. You see? That's why we can't look back as we're going forward. Yeah. So, you know, keep in mind, you know, if you want the new life, you have to get rid of entirely the old life. Entirely. Yeah, so I'm just kind of almost begging you, you know. You want the new life? Let's go and do it. Let's go and do it, you know. Let's go and do it. And, all right, so now, back on the sixth principle. You have to have the same mindset towards your goal of a new life. You know what I'm saying? This new life of sobriety, health, balance, empathy, compassion towards self and others can and will be attainable. All right? In order to receive this new life, that's what I was just saying, you have to be entirely, not half-heartedly, ready to let God transform you into a completely new creature. Absolutely, yeah, for sure. Matter of fact, in our scripture in the Quran, Allah says, enter al-Islam wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, wholeheartedly, like a pool. You got to dive in. Now, when you dive in, there's no part of you that's dry. You're wet completely. So we got to be wet completely of this recovery process in order for it to work. Yeah. You have to completely bare your soul to God and say, here I am, O God, O Allah. You know? Or I know I'm talking to other religious figures out here, too. So whatever name you like for God, use that. Yahweh, it's okay. Here I am, O God. I'm ready to receive any and all good that you have for me. I know that no good exists but your good. Matter of fact, this is the prayer of Moses. Remember when Moses was running off and, you know, and so forth, and right before he helped these gals at the water well? That was his prayer. I know that no good exists but your good. There is no help except by and through you. The only reality is your reality. No one and nothing can heal except you. My new life is the life that you have prescribed for me. My burden can only be lifted by you and you alone. My soul belongs to you, and I commit my soul to your service. It is not my will, but your will that shall be done in my life. Here I am for you, O God. Oof. Now that's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's so much anxiety and impatience with yourself and a sense of mistrust of yourself. That's because we've been dealing with our lower self. That's why mistrust is there. Yeah, you can't trust your lower self. No, it's untrustworthy. We got to cross over into our higher self that knows nothing but good. Yeah, all that's within you. Yeah, you don't have to buy it anywhere or search to the mountains of who knows who in the world and get it. No. It's all within you. Yeah. You know, this is why you hesitate in this process. So where do you start? It starts in a quiet place where you won't be disturbed, where you can cry out, shout, vent, and plead humbly without any outside distractions. Quiet contemplation, prayer, meditation, deep breathing, and solemn reflection is a great daily habit. Man, we should all do this. Good God Almighty. You know, for Muslims, you know, Ramadan's coming up soon, and you know, after that morning prayer, you know, making prayer after that first meal, you know, which is usually around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning or so, man, it's quiet outside. Good time for meditation. Good time for meditation. Yeah, this is what Prophet Muhammad, you know, peace be upon this, what he did when he was in a cave, meditating, reflecting on God. Yeah. Yeah. So quiet, say it again, quiet contemplation, prayer, meditation, deep breathing, and solemn reflection is a great daily habit. You will find that your anxiety and impatience levels start to decrease, and then you will discover contentment with yourself that you probably never before realized. Oof, I'm telling you, I've done it myself. Yeah, for something, man. When you get in that meditative state, you know, and it's a mantra, you know, mantra, that phrase you say, that word you say, that takes you to that other level. My mantra is the law, naturally. So I say, real slowly, as I inhale and exhale, Allah, 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 Allah. Yeah, as you do that, you can feel your heart start vibrating. And things happen. You know, I've had one out of body experience a long, long time ago. It only happened once. But I did that. Things have happened. And they say when you, you know, the saying goes, when you pray, you're talking to God. When you meditate, God talks to you. So when you meditate, that's when you kind of open up. Open up your mind, your consciousness, you know, to what Allah, the Almighty God, has for you. You open up. That's when, you know, that's when God makes deposits. Yeah, yeah, for sure. You know, so that's just real, real important to understand. And, you know, too many times, you know, we want to have certain things that, you know, God help me with this, God help me with that, with this and with that. How do you know that God has something else entirely for you that you never thought of? You know? Like you want a certain car, let's just say, God want to have a Ducalic, or I want to have this new Mercedes. God might want you to have a Ford Escalade instead. You see? So by you limiting yourself with your request, you're cutting off what God has for you. So how about when you meditate, you're not thinking about any kind of gift or any kind of answer. You're just saying Allah, whatever mantra feels good to you, over and over and over. Just open your heart for whatever God has for you. Yeah. Whatever God has for you, and this is what you do. Yeah, this is what you do. You see? Yeah, you might find that the path you're going on might not be the right path for you. So when you meditate, you know, God deposits answers and, you know, say, hey, little hints and nudges. And after you come out of that, you might say, you know what, I'm going to go another route now. All that came from your meditation. Yeah, very important. Very, very important. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Some of our problems with these principles and with life in general are self-induced. If a drowning person panics and fights his rescuer, he may die. If he fights long enough, hard enough, he surely will. Maybe what we need to do is stop struggling and let someone help us out of the deep water we put ourselves into. Yeah, stop struggling. Maybe we should let go and float, or let the tide take us toward the shore of safety. Does this make more sense? Yeah. Tell you. Boy, you know, we got so many problems. But I'm talking about answers, real answers here. And people, you know, they shy away from these answers. They the problems are more exciting. We talk about this clean, sober, productive, positive life. It's boring to a lot of us. Boring. You know, they might say, where's the fun? No fun in that. Where's the fun? Where's the excitement? Huh? Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, a lot of our churches, you know, they have a lot of excitement, a lot of music, and it sounds like a rock concert in some of these churches, or James Brown set, you know. Yeah, a lot of excitement, you see. And then the preachers is you know, doing James Brown cross stage and all that, and say, hey, man, this is a good show here. We ask them outside, what did the preacher talk about? I don't know, but it was a good show. You know? Yeah, we go into others, like going to the mosque. The masjid is more like a lecture. You're taking notes maybe, and then you're learning. You're learning. It's for the prefrontal cortex, for the intelligent part of us, not for the back part, which is your emotional seat, you know, it's for the intellectual part. Yeah. So when you go through this recovery process, we're talking to your intellectual part here. And that should check the emotional part. Keep it in check. Number 7, we humbly and submissively ask God to remove our shortcomings. So again, we humbly and submissively ask God to remove our shortcomings. Yeah. Okay? Humility means, quote, the state or quality of being humble, of mind or spirit, absence of pride or self-assertion, end quote. Humble is further described, quote, to reduce arrogance and self-dependence, to make meek and be submissive to the divine will. Humility is as much a part of staying clean and sober as breathing is part of being alive. Mm-hmm. As our addiction progressed, many of us lost much of our humility while devoting ourselves to the getting and using. We're good about that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm good about that part. Mm-hmm. Yep, the getting and using. Mm-hmm. Now, all other needs became secondary. We only wanted to satisfy our basic desires. We now, in this 7th principle, humbly ask God to erase these shortcomings from us entirely. Our shortcomings are the result. Mm-hmm. Yeah, shortcomings are the result or the behavior part of our character defects. For example, our character defect might be kleptomania. We have the spirit inside for sure, that wants us to steal. It compels us to steal. We get a thrill out of doing this act and not getting caught. Our shortcoming is actually doing that act, stealing and violating someone else's property. See, once this shortcoming is removed, we take on a new thrill of pleasing God by doing what is honest. You're not exciting or not with drama and doing what's honest. We now have a replacement that works for us instead of against us. Mm-hmm. I'm going to quote Zaid Imani from the Malati Islami, the Path of Peace. Okay. Before now, we have often made unreasonable demands upon ourselves, upon others, and upon Allah. The difference between a demand and a simple request becomes plain in this step. It is here that we make the change in our attitude, which permits us, with humility as our guide, to move out from ourselves towards Allah and others. If a degree of humility could enable us to find the grace by which such a deadly obsession, such as using, could be banished, then there must be hope of having the same result with other problems and situations in our life. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Now, in order for our defects to really dissipate, we need a strong, solid picture of our life without these ill behaviors. I'm telling you, boy, you know, we need to control our dreams. It is so important for us. You know, since we like to dream and imagine, we're very, you know, creative, imaginary people. We like to dream about stuff. Dream about that good old clean life. Your life without these ill behaviors. What's wrong with that? Yeah, dream about that. You see? Yeah. Dream about that married life that, you know, we're doing all the right things. You're supporting your wife. Your wife, you're supporting your husband. You're a garment for one another. Protecting one another. Huh? Wife still feels secure. Brothers, you're providing, you're maintaining, you're protecting. Yeah. Have you thought about that life? Yeah. What would that life look like? What kinds of activities will you be engaged in now that those evil acts have vanished? They're not part of this picture now. What kind of person will you now be known as? You're known as something else before. Yeah. What will you now be known as in this clean, sober, productive life? If a monitoring bird above could give a report on you, what would that report describe? This is why visualization exercises are the best way to speed up the transformation process. You have to have life-giving deeds that you are engaged in on a regular basis. What will be those deeds? What people are going to benefit from your new charitable nature? What will be in your good deeds diary that you are writing for yourself to keep track of? When that solid picture is solid in your mind, then you have produced the seed that will sprout forth the true picture of your actual life. True goals are realized first from the firm belief in the picture in your mind. In other words, you produce the good and the bad in your life from your own belief system inside. Did you know that? Wow. Yeah. You know, a lot of us, especially our Muslims, no Christians, we all do the same thing. We say we believe. We're believers. We believe in God. We believe in the messengers. We believe in the book. What do you really believe in? See, that's your conscious side talking. I bet if we could put a microphone to your unconscious side and ask, what do you believe? We might get a different picture. Yeah. Might get a different picture. That's why it's so important, I'm telling you, to really see yourself enjoying your new life. Enjoying it. They're not going through because you have to go through it, or because I guess I got to go through this, you know. If I don't do it, I'll lose my job, or I'll lose my wife, I'll lose my husband. I guess I got to go through this. Yeah. No, that is not the way. You have to see yourself enjoying your new life. So I wonder, what does your unconscious have to say about what you really believe in? Good question. That's a good question there. Absolutely. All right. Now you can see that it is easy to ask God to remove our shortcomings because we now have healthy replacements for them. Yeah, for them all. See, healthy replacements. It's one thing to say, I got to get rid of procrastination, lying, and got to get rid of hate, anger. But you got to replace that. That's what the fourth principle is about. Matter of fact, if you want to hear that story, you know, go on Blog Talk. Everything's recorded on this network. blogtalkradio.com/emailalfred. Scroll down. 12 Principles of Recovery. That might have been a number 3. Anyway, you see my picture on 12 Principles of Recovery there. Okay? You'll see that there, and click on here. You can download it too. You can download all these shows to your hard drive, burn CDs, have in your car, your iPod, all that kind of stuff, you know? Yeah. Free information, free therapy. Free recovery right here. Yeah. Free recovery program. Well, recovery program's free anyway. Idea that you can have all the tools right here. All right? Very important to understand that. Yeah, that's important. Healthy replacements. What are your healthy replacements for all those bad deeds and character defects that you had, maybe still have? What are your healthy replacements? And do you love those healthy replacements? One thing to say, I replace it with, you know, love unconditionally and happiness truly being fulfilled. But do you love that? Or are you just doing it because you've got to do it? Do you love that? That's important. It is harder to ask for those old behaviors that you have grown accustomed to all these years to all of a sudden be gone out of your lives without having some replacement. That's what I was just saying. Now we have, with God's help, you know, we have, you're pushing them out of your life entirely without reservations. Okay? Yeah. So you're not saying, okay, you got to go, but you're really hoping they'd stay. No. Out entirely. Don't want to see you ever. Bye. Be gone. I'm done with you. Hey, like those saying goes, keep on walking and don't look back. Yeah. I'm telling you. You're now okay with yourself after you do this, because now you're aligning with your higher self, not your lower self. Not your lower self, your higher self that knows nothing but good. Yeah. Higher self, when God blew the heir of life, actually blew himself into your mother's womb. Yeah, gave you life. God's attributes are there. And that breath became your higher self, by the way. Yeah, that's where higher self came from. Mm-hmm. That's why we can believe in that. Be aligned with that. Be okay with that. And have fun on that side. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. We're to the eighth principle now. Matter of fact, I guess I should do my commercial again here now. I'm Nazim Rashid. Nazim Rashid. Author Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. And I'm reading and talking about recovery, 12 principles of recovery, taken from my chapter in my program, 12 principles of recovery in my book, Reconnected. Okay? Very important. And I'm doing this series of recovery every Wednesday at this time. And I want everybody to have this book. See, I plan to have this, I call it Reconnected Messages, all over the world, all the languages. I want everybody to have a copy of this book so they can have the tools for a transformed life. And as you're buying this book and encourage others to buy the book, that will enable me to travel and go to other parts of the world to share this message of recovery, you know, and promise that's in this book. Yeah, very important. So Amazon has it, Barnes & Noble, I was saying before. If you close to a store, I was talking to a brother last week from New Jersey. He said Barnes & Noble store is close by. Hey, go right there. If that's easy for you, go in there. It might be on a shelf. If not, they'll order for you, and they'll have it, you know, behind the desk there with your name on there. Barnes & Noble, you got like Amazon, go to Amazon and get it. Now, they have e-book versions, too, in case you have the Kindle or the Nook. You could download it and have it right there. It only costs about $8 or so. Very important. Now, the book is about $20. 412 pages, 14 chapters, pretty thick book, you know. So there's a lot in there because I thought it was covering a whole lot of areas we need help in, you see. Yeah, the chapters are forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication and listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, attachments, codependency, and addictions, 12 principles of recovery, identifying and managing emotions. Last one, how to be the mentor to your child self. In other words, how to go back in time and create that fictional character, the mentor, you, and change those ill feelings you had in the past to positive ones by changing those scenarios. You can do that. All right? Yeah, very important to do that. So I'm going to air here, and, you know, email Alfred Show, the blogtalkradio.com/email Alfred, and you see my program on the left there called 12 Principles of Recovery. Okay? All right. Everybody got that? Very good. And again, if you're listening online, you can join in a chat by going under the show page. You see my picture and email Alfred's picture there. There's a little box, and you can actually type in questions and or comments. Yeah. And I'll see them there and actually talk about them and bring them on air. Matter of fact, let me go to the chat room right now and see if anything's there. Okay, good. All right. Good so far. And, of course, if you're listening on your phone, you can always hit number one on your phone, and I'll see you on the switchboard and bring you in on the discussions. Okay? Okay. Now, moving on. We're to the eighth principle now. The eighth principle. Okay? It's very challenging. We are to make a list of all people we have harmed, and we are willing to make amends to them all. I'll say it again. We are to make a list of all people we have harmed and are willing to make amends to them all. This is very hard. I know when I went through this, I said, man, I don't know how long it took me. It took me a while. I remember that this yellow notebook paper I was using, I remember that some time ago, and I went through it, and you know, I had to make a list. Make a list. Of course, I couldn't go directly to those people. My mother, yes. I heard her a lot, you know. So I went to her for sure. But, the idea that it's really about your intentions, you know. God says you're judged by intentions anyway. So it's very important to do that. Make a list of all people you've harmed and are willing. See, the whole key word here is willing to make amends to them all. Okay, most of our previous thinking centered on how we felt like victims rather than victimizers. You know that's right. While it is true that some people may have caused us harm, We'll lay this thought aside for the moment. Kind of put it over there for a little while. Our intent in this principle is to further our growth. Mm-hmm. We can make little progress here unless we backtrack and make an accurate and unsparing survey of the human wreckage we left behind. You know you did that. It will make us feel better to clean up our lives by relieving ourselves of guilt. By writing a list of people we harmed, we can no longer deny that we caused harm. Yeah, you got to start there. You can say, well, I didn't hurt anybody. Making amends to these people wherever, however we can, will add to our healing and building process. We're not taking responsibility for our actions. Man, that's challenging. But you can do that. Don't say you can't do that. Don't say, well, those people are dead now. You know, write it anyway. And make amends in your mind. Pretend you're looking at them and tell them you're sorry for what you did. Yeah. It's the same energy. Do it anyway. Most people are rare across the world. Hey, look, do it. Don't procrastinate. That's also a character defect, procrastination. Yeah, for sure. Don't do that. If you want the new life, again, you have to completely give up the old. Old life's not working anymore, baby, so let it go. Let it go. The preparation process alone demands that we think about what we have done and acknowledge that we are now ready for a transformative process within to take place. In our minds, we go back in time and recall the con games, lies, procrastinating mindsets, and false promises that we were guilty of. We see how our self-centeredness caused the many hurts in the lives of those we said we loved. We are now ready to heal the wounds, ask for forgiveness, forgive ourselves, and start a new chapter in our lives. Yeah. As you start writing down the people you ran over emotionally, I want you to really feel this. I do we most of the time, but now I'm saying you. Again, as you start writing down the people you ran over emotionally, you can't forget to put yourself on the list too. As you know, in practicing your addictions, you are slowly killing yourselves. There is your child within that always needs nurturing and respect, and it is this child that needs to feel your reconciliation. If there's one thing you want to be right with, it is that child within. Reconciliation can be defined as, quote, the act or process of harmonizing or making consistent things apparently opposed or inconsistent, end quote. Your life will be so much smoother when you are honoring your inner self. Spend a lot of time in the mirror talking to that inner child. You can do that. You might think it sounds crazy. I'm telling you, a lot of great things happen for this. Yeah, spend a lot of time in the mirror talking to that inner child, asking for forgiveness, telling yourself that you love him or her. You honor him or her. You respect him or her. You protect him or her from hurt and disrespect. You will always be there for them. Okay? You and he or she are the best team ever, and you want him to subtly remind you when you are getting a bit off track because you want to be the best friend possible with nothing to come in between you two. Yeah, it might sound crazy, but I'm telling you, it works. Your feelings start changing. Yes, it does. All right? Now, this is the exact same process you will take when you go back in time to mentor your child self, like my book is all about. This is why these 12 principles of recovery work so perfectly in my model of mentoring your child self. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, we can't forget to put God on the list, too. Now, you know you cannot harm the Almighty, but we can still consider including God because we have amends to make for going against his will, which is harmful to ourselves. You have to keep in mind that your body and mind belongs to God, and they have only been entrusted to your care. You have to answer for the use and misuse you experience in this life. That reminds me of our scripture in the Quran, where we know that in the hereafter, on the day of judgment, our body parts will speak for us and against us. You wonder why. You look at your arm and say, arm, well, I thought me and you were tight. You were connected, literally. Arm says, look, hey, God, he had me touch the wrong things. Grab those women out there, you know, against their will, and do things that are, you know, that were not in accord to your will. Yeah, your arm will speak out against you. Your tongue will speak out against you. Your ears will speak out against you. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, one day you have the answer, and your limbs will take on their own individual speech. Oh, yeah. All right, we relieve ourselves of resentments by making this list. Resentment is the number one offender and destroys more addicts than anything else. Remember, we're also describing those who have an addiction of domination and control over others, which includes that blind, violent spirit that possesses some of us. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Resentment is one of the main names of anger, along with hurt, alienation, disappointment, and sadness. When we feel resentment toward another person, very strong and painful emotions are aroused in us when we are in that person's presence, and sometimes even at the thought of that person. In this eighth principle, we relieve ourselves of the old anger and guilt we have been. Those old monster versions of ourselves can now go away for good and be replaced by a natural, loving, and giving human being. As we're writing this list, we start to feel a burden beginning to be lifted from us. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to quote something else from Zayd Imani, who started the Malati Islami Path of Peace. It says, quote, "It is paramount that we extract from our examination of our personal relationships every bit of information about our own behavior as possible. Thoughtful reflection upon personal relations can deepen our insight. Many of our damaging emotional conflicts persist below the level of consciousness." Yes, I was just talking about that. "Our unhealthy relationships have given our emotions an unhealthy twist. This has discolored our personalities and altered our lives," end quote. Yeah. Zayd Imani. Okay, resentment against another human being binds us to that person emotionally and mentally. Did you know that? It binds you to them. Let me say that again. Resentment against another human being binds us, I'll say bind you, binds you to that person emotionally and mentally. You are tied to the very person you feel you hate. The one person in the world whom you dislike is the very one to whom you attach yourself with a powerful hook. Wow, did you know that? Man, this is something else. You are drawn to that which you fear and despise. I'll say it again. You are drawn to that which you fear and despise. We are pulled in. Ooh, pulled into that very source of our pain, like a moth to a flame. That's something. That's something. Yeah. I'll say again, to those who are listening on your phone, if you want to ask a question or a comment, you can just hit the number one on your telephone, and I'll bring you into the switchboard. I'll see that and bring you in, okay? This whole idea of being, you know, pulled into the people you hate, this is horrible. I never knew this before. Yeah, that's why you got to release those people. When you forgive and release those people, man, it's such a good feeling. You feel good. Yeah, you feel good, feel wonderful, you know? Let it go, let them go. You know, they're bothersome, they wreck their own lives, well, that's their life. Why should what they're doing to their life bother you in your life? You know, maybe some of you love, they're drinking all the time, you left that alone, they're still doing it. You know, their liver's messed up, doctor says they drink again, they might die. Yeah, that's their life, not your life. Everybody has their own path to walk on, you see? Yeah. Don't be troubled by what other people do. Keep in mind that this eighth principle is about preparing our minds to face these people and rectify our troubled past. So, we have to tune into the forgiveness channel of ourselves and others, as this will break the negative bonds we have had through our resentments. You see, this relieves us of the bondage of old negative attitudes and gives us the freedom to relate to others comfortably without defensiveness, phoniness, or suspicion. Yeah. Some of us have said to ourselves and possibly others that we have an inferiority complex, lack self-confidence, self-esteem, and we're never really allowed to express ourselves honestly, or were oppressed emotionally. Yeah, I would like that actually. These are all symptomatic expressions of a damaged personality, and much of that damage was self-inflicted. When you realize that you are capable of change, you then know that this reality is the best possible way of making amends to yourself. Yeah. As we become more tolerant and forgiving, less rigid and judgmental, you will begin to realize that God is doing for you what you could not do for yourself. You are beginning to experience real changes in your viewpoints, attitudes, and beliefs, and are being made ready to become more active in the reconciliation process. Man, it just feels good. It feels good on the side of light and love, you know? I know before my dark life, I was never concerned about the flowers and took time to watch the roses unfold and, you know, watch the squirrels or rabbits and watch the birds, you know, communicate with one another. I'm never concerned with that kind of thing. I love that now. Mm-hmm. So all that is life. And I'm connected to them because that same life that goes to them goes through me. In the grass, watching the grass grow and green and so forth in the sky, and being thankful when you see the sky. And, you know, yeah, it's very important. Being thankful when you see the trees, knowing that the trees give us oxygen that we need, and we give them carbon dioxide that they need. Did you know that? When we exhale, the plants soak up as food. And what they give us, we soak up as oxygen. Man, it's a wonderful process. Man, God is a good God. Man. Whew, I'm telling you, it's wonderful. Yeah. All right, so a ninth principle. We intend to make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would bring harm to them, ourselves, or others. Mm-hmm. Now, this ninth principle helps us with our guilt and anger. Indirect amends may be necessary, where a direct one would be unsafe or endanger the well-being of others. We make amends to the best of our ability. Sometimes the only amend we can act on is to stay clean and sober. That's right. I know that's right. We are no longer making a mess in society as a result of our using. That's true. A tremendous burden is lifted from us when we actually sit down face-to-face with family and friends we had harmed. Remember those interventions you see on TV? Yeah. We then discuss from our perspective what we had done and how we are removing, with the help of God, those defects and actions from us, knowing the harm that they all caused. Yeah. Yeah. Remember those saying, actions speak louder than words? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is through a change of behavior, a change in our pattern of actions, a consistent way of living that convinces others and ourselves that a true change has taken place and new habits have now formed. Yeah. It is not very challenging to acknowledge a wrongdoing towards someone. Yeah, it's not very challenging to acknowledge wrongdoing. It can be very challenging to verbally apologize to family members, friends, and past and present associates. Now, that's a challenging one. The real challenge and the ultimate test will always be a new habitual way of acting towards self and others. Yeah. This whole recovery process, I'm telling you, it's great. I went through it. You know, people ask, how long does it take? It depends on the person. You might be on this 8 and 9 principle for a whole year, just these two principles by themselves. Yeah, list, you know, make a list and find these people and talk to them and forgive yourself and all that. That takes a long time for some of us. Yeah. But it's necessary to go through it. Go through it. Just go through it. Don't get stuck in the middle. It's like driving, you know, you're going through a dark tunnel. And you say, you know, I don't see the light at the end. You know? But I do see the white stripes here. You're directing me how to go. I'm going to stop right here. I don't see the light. I'm going to go back. I don't see anything. So how we ever get to the light unless you keep going? So this is why the recovery process, you might say, well, you know, I don't see a real change in my life yet. You're just going through the process. This is called the emotional spiritual detox process. It takes a time. It takes time to go through it. Know just that when you get through it, you'll be clean and sober at the end. And you'll have a new life. That's the most important thing. Yeah. The key phrase here is a new habitual way of acting. A new habitual way of acting. How long does it take before a new way of acting is considered a new habitual way of acting? Yeah, I was just saying that. In the traditional AA model of drug recovery, I checked this out, a sponsor is someone who has been clean, sober, and living a completely different life for 3 months consecutively. 3 months, 90 days. Boy. In the class and workshop that I have conducted, I have taught that you cannot sponsor anyone unless you have at least 12 months of a clean and sober, morally upright, healthy model of behavior, and you're able to teach and model the 12 principles with conviction and purpose. Oh, yeah, my program, no. No. You got to be the example, proven example. Now, of course, you will never reach the point of being done with forming new ideas and done with thinking about new ways of demonstrating a clean, faith-filled lifestyle. This is a lifelong journey and commitment you have made with God and yourself, so it never ends. You will have one great task after another and will always be on the lookout for new deeds to be done, which will demonstrate your clean and charitable lifestyle. That is so very important. And don't look to get credit. You know, don't do it because the lights are on, the camera's there, you know, and people are noticing what you're doing and what you're giving and who you're giving to, and they get put in the paper and have your name there. No, wrong intentions, baby. Don't do it like that. Don't do it like that. Do it because, you know, God is watching you. For your own sake, you're doing it. Okay? Yeah, for sure. Now, in my book, I talk about the 93/7 principle of communication. I'll say it again. 93/7 principle of communication. Now, I'm talking about it because it's very, very applicable here. Okay? 93% of real communication is through your presentation, meaning your body language and your behavior, where only 7% of what is actually permeating the other person's receptive mind is through your words. Yeah, through your words. In other words, people don't put much weight in what you're saying, only what you actually do. It is in the doing that makes the difference between the other person getting it or not getting it. So you can apologize and apologize. But if your behavior does not match your words, your apologies are a waste of everyone's time and energy. Apologies are good and necessary, but your plan for making amends has to formally include a complete change of behavior and firm intentions of making new patterns and forming new long-term habits. Yeah. A lot of times, apologies, that's just a waste. I'm sorry I did that. You know? But in your heart, you know you're wrong. You're going to do wrong again. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You are really intending to transform into a complete new individual with new desires, motives, and needs. All right? Got that? New desires. That's why when you come through the process, come through a transforming process, you still bring the old desires with you, you know? Yeah, the old game and the, you know, old needs you had, old desires. Can't do it that way. You're going to relapse guaranteed. You got to have new desires now. This is really the best way to make amends to God and society as a whole. Now society can count on you to be an abundant source for others and to be an example of love, compassion, and healthy production. Yeah, healthy production. Absolutely. You have to be careful as we arrange our list of folks whom we ran over during our intoxication rampage. Ran over. Some of them may be still nursing those wounds you left behind. Others might be holding a grudge against you. Others might be in different relationships now, and the reminder of your past history with them might disturb their present circumstances. This is why in a state of principle we have, except when to do so would bring harm to them, ourselves or others. Mm-hmm. If there's any possibility of new hurt or embarrassment to them, we would choose then to leave them alone. Pray for their forgiveness and yours, amend your life, and move on. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Selfish activities and thoughts do not interest us anymore. Through this amending process, we now find new love in serving the good in others. We now get joy and emotional satisfaction, yeah, from helping other people find their way in life, helping them discover and enjoy emotional balance, assisting them in health and wealth attraction, and being there for them when the tides of their life turn against them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The spirit of addiction and death is always lurking around, waiting for the opportunity to strike again. So we have to be sensitive to feelings of resistance and rebelliousness. At any stage of this transformative process, those old familiar voices might and probably will call out to you, telling you that, hey, you don't need to go through all that fuss and bother. Those other people won't appreciate what you are doing anyway. You're wasting your time and energy, and besides, it will take a long, long time to change, and you might not like what you're going to become. What will you be like? Who will be your friends? Whom can you trust? Where will be your real support out there? End quote. All right, now when you have feelings of resistance, call out for help. Call your sponsor or go to a support group meeting, calling God immediately. Pray and meditate for the right guidance and protection. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When those feelings of resistance make themselves known to you, know that those feelings are the subtle voices of the spirit of addiction, Shaitan, actually, spirit of addiction trying to hold on to you. Resist the energy, pull, and go strongly the other way toward life and freedom. Transforming your life is a very conscious activity which takes a strong, consistent effort on your part. You must face your fears or your fears will control you on one level or another. That's right. As you start making your list of people in this ninth principle, there might be some person or persons that you don't want to put on your list who really need to be at the top of your list. These are the ones that made you so mad or you hurt so badly that you either can't or won't forgive them, and you can't allow that wound to heal, or you think that they will ever forgive you and don't want to ever be reminded of you again in life. So consequently, you don't include them on your list. Yeah. This is the wrong move. In this process of amending our lives, we are freeing ourselves from the bondage of our self-inflictions. We hurt ourselves all the time. Yeah, for sure. Two of those self-inflictions are old, self-centered, ego-driven anger, and an under-par self-worth. When you don't feel worthy enough to be forgiven, you become your own slave master. Well, so many of us do that. You become your own slave master, beating you down every time you think you are okay. You are your own worst enemy. You feel you deserve the worst out of life, and you don't deserve to feel or be happy. Your fear is not knowing what is on the other side of your old anger and the other side of your low self-esteem. As long as you allow yourself to be controlled by your fears, those fears will continue to rule your life. Yeah. The thoughts of those people are on your mind and are controlling you on one level or another and follow you up wherever you go. Those thoughts will dictate what you are going to say if you see those people. They also control how you feel internally by yourself when the thoughts of those people surface and make themselves at home in your mind. Boy, I'm telling you, it's so important. Yeah. You know it's right. If you're at home by yourself, you know, in your meditation room, your prayer room, and you just let your mind go still, those old voices will come and start talking to you. Yeah, for sure. Especially when you're confronted with something that you like, you know, that big chocolate sundae you shouldn't be eating, you know, and you go in there and eat it and look at it. The voice says, hey, go ahead and eat it. That's what the voice says. Go ahead. Don't get this. Says, hey, take care of it. You know, just take care of it. Go ahead and just do it. Knock it out. Yeah. Again, it comes from the lower self I talked about before. It cannot have anything to do with the lower self. All the higher self. Mm-hmm. For sure. Keep that in mind. All right. By confronting those people first, you are saying to yourself, if I can take care of this hard-to-do matter, then the rest of the folks on my list will be a piece of cake. I can do this. Yeah. You have now gained a strength that you thought didn't exist for you. Your faith is telling you that God is doing for you what you could not do for yourself. Yeah. Material wrongs might be an obvious idea that should be amended if possible, such as paying back a debt or correcting old extravagance or stingy habits. But sometimes we overlook the importance of correcting moral wrongs. Believe it or not, we are all examples, and we need to acknowledge this point. Someone or some people out there somewhere is and has been noticing your behavior, how you conduct yourself with others. This is true. Somebody's always watching you. And believe it or not, you are influencing them pro or con. Knowing this, you want to give the very best example. Maybe in the past, your example caused young ones to stray from the healthy path to one of destruction. Maybe in the past, you gave bad impressions to the ones you love as well as your colleagues and associates. Maybe your self-centeredness contributed to your neglecting the needs of others. Now, many children have been neglected when mom and dad were absent behind intoxicated binge or needed money was gone, so it had to support the parents' habits first. Wow. Disappointments such as these examples in children can last their entire lifetime, affecting adversely their own relationships and family members as they age. Yeah. Yeah, man. Boy, it's so important. There are also spiritual wrongs that need to be addressed. You might say, what spiritual wrongs? God should have our focused time to be grateful, reflect on all the good given to us, ask for guidance, pray for health and wealth, be open for God's grace, mercy, and transforming energy. That's what I'm talking about. Now, when you are using and abusing substances and people, you are not giving God proper attention and time. I include, you know, in this area, the lack of self-development and not encouraging others to excel. Why don't we encourage everybody, especially the kids, to excel? Be your best. God created you in an excellent form, excellent mold. Personal development is so important for all of us to engage ourselves in on a daily basis. Yeah. And I taught personal development in schools for some years. It's amazing. When the principals hear about my program, you know, you would think they would say, yeah, we need, oh, man, this is great. We need to have this in this school. Yes, please. Sign the contract. Yes. They would say, well, no. We could put that money into have more police officers or put some barbed wire fence around, you know, like a concentration camp, you know, and bring a police station close by. Yeah, our kids, they need to see, you know, taser guns and guns on the side of our police officers up and down the hall. They'll straighten up that way. So the same money, like it's called Title I, Title II money in the public school system, you know, is paying for those kind of things. It'll pay me also. They say, look, we really have you know, more of that than what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. I mean, so I heard so many times. They really have something else like that. Or they say, oh, that kind of thing doesn't work around here. We believe in just talking to our kids, and they'll be straight. Even though they have a high incident rate of violence and destruction and so forth, the unruly behavior. Yeah, I was training peer counselors in the schools, training kids to be leaders on the campuses. And I understand how to you know, anticipate a violence real quick. Anytime someone is about to fight or anything started happening, you know, the kids I train are right there to help stop anything that might happen. Over this time, they know how to stop the fight, too. You know, a nice, healthy way. You know how I do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but you'd think that schools would love that, but too many times they say, no, we'd rather do something else with this money, you know? All right? Now, when a big crisis happens, like, you know, I was teaching at a pregnant parenting school. Oh, yeah, Nazim, come over here. Oh, we need your program. Now they call me after, you know, after the horse is out the barn, as they say. Here, you know, I got these teenage girls or got these kids plural. Now they call me in here to, you know, start a program to, you know, to stop the cycle of pregnancy. It's okay. So I did that. That's what happens, you know. So you would think one thing, but it's really not about that. Not about that at all, you know. So that's why it's very important to understand the importance of what we're doing right now. You know, it's important to internalize these principles in your life and to be an example for others, you know. Yeah, be an example. Yeah. So I'm about to wind down here. I'll say a couple of little things. Like self-esteem is built up, you know. Yeah, in this amending process. We feel good and better by ourselves when we accomplish our goals in general. When we atone, we feel good in the repairing process and reconciling ourselves with God again. This is also very important, okay? You know, the side effects of making amends to self are finding a better way to live and a better way to love. Yeah, this reminds me of a time when I was walking alongside the Bay Bridge in Oakland, California. I was walking by the water, and I was absorbed in watching the sailboats going by. Man, I love that scene. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anytime during the day, you can see sailboats going by with their occupants relaxing and enjoying their sailing experience. Yeah. Right above them, you see the Bay Bridge with many cars frantically trying to get to their destination, honking the horn and all that, you know. As I noticed these two diametrically opposed positions, I asked myself, do I want to be like the sailors or the drivers? I'm looking at it right here. You can see it right there. The sailors right here or the drivers. Man, you know, during the week, you know, like 11 o'clock or on a Tuesday, you know, or there they are on the sailboat having a good time. There is another way to live life. Yes, it is. And those relaxed ones in the boats have somehow figured it out. And when you make amends to yourself, you start opening yourself up to the possibilities of life expansion. Since you are now worth the best, feel the best, see yourself as the best you, huh, that there is, you naturally are going to now receive the best. You will also receive the best ideas, attracting the best opportunities, the best people who will influence you towards your goal, and the best divine inspirations. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you tune to that channel, you understand that God created you in the best of molds, the best design. Man, you start attracting different things to you. Things start coming to you, you know? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so that, yeah, all this is part of the same principle, seventh principle. No, I'm sorry. The ninth, no. Yeah, ninth principle. Yeah, ninth principle. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. And so we will reflect on this again next week. We'll do our little summary and start middle of the ninth principle and go on again for sure. So it's very important to understand this process. I'm telling you, very important. You know, if you want the best and you know, be the best, you know, go through the process of recovery. Go through it. Again, I'm Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. The book can be bought at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Yeah, and my website, Clouds of Abundance. Again, the website, Clouds of Abundance. Again, Clouds ofabundance.com. Yeah, there's a buy now button there, and it'll be sent to you. I can actually autograph it, send it to you. By the way, a special deal I'm giving to all those who call into this show, if you want to get this book at a little cheaper rate, because the heavy is 412 pages and 14 chapters, so it's a pretty heavy book. It costs about $4 or so to ship. You can email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. Again, nrbookclub@gmail.com. Once again, nrbookclub@gmail.com. Email me and tell me, you know, you want to get this book at a discount. You're one of email Alfred's regular callers. And I'll send you a PayPal link, the book minus shipping costs. So $20, you'll be paying that only, you know, for the book. And I'll pay the shipping costs. Yeah. Okay. At my show, yeah, I'm a host of my show called The Reconnected Show. It's on every Saturday, the same network. But you go to blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Instead of email Alfred, put reconnected. You get to my show every Saturday, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and 3 o'clock Arizona Time, Pacific Time. Yeah. And I'm a host of my show. I have different guests to come on, talking about different personal growth topics that are kind of reflected in my book. Everything's positive. We don't do news, controversial issues, nothing of dramatic nature. Everything's positive. How we can become the best that we can become. It's time for that. Yes, it is. Time for that. Yeah. So that's on every Saturday morning, or in your case, if you're on the East Coast, Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And a phone number, and since a lot of y'all like to just call up, it's 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. Okay? All right. So with that, we're going to end the program now. And I want to applaud everybody who did join on the or actually listened on the program. Most people listen after the program. And we always speak to people outside the country because this program goes all over the world. And for those outside the country, you have to go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon to get the book that way, okay? All right? So I appreciate everybody that's tuned in. I want everybody to have the best life they possibly can have and have the tools so you can have references in case, when you do kind of get off track a little bit. We all get off track a little bit. So I want you to have the tools there. So I end the show like I started. With a peace of only God, we call Allah, has for you, the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum.